don't own the goddamn property. I only have, well, I have an interest, I have 4 acres that I can call my own. Maybe someday I can buy the rest. But you know, it's just as clear as a bell. Almost unbelievably.
Well, that, John, knew this guy was back at it again.
Oh, sure.
And he said there've been, over the last few years, there've been 3 or 4 times that reporters have been assigned full-time to run that story down. And they end up talking to John, you know, working all their stuff, and they give up. There's no story there. And they haven't, nobody's tried to go through it.
Sure.
Now, obviously, you're now down to the election, I know, several weeks before the election, and they'll lob it out.
In this case, I'm Ray Sullivan, the Los Angeles Times, if they do anything, whatever's called, just the phone, say, look, or just, there's nothing like what we're doing. No comment at all, or I'm sure. Later to it, I said, now, let's you know that this is an honest thing, and so forth, and what happened to people about the Triberg Trust? Stick it to it, we're on that, too. We're not playing, when I say we're not playing hard enough, I know we are. I guess I think we're not playing clever enough in terms of using it. Why don't you do it? You just reach up there and turn it down below.
Yeah, that's not what we got.
Yeah. One thing we did do, I think, rather cleverly was to do O'Brien's income tax. So I think that's why he stood out that time.
I think that's right.
And we followed up by
O'Brien. It's very interesting. Also, since he's been in there, he's had a may have been a couple of weeks out of him, and that's all.
Pop off a little bit. You've also got our friend up in Minnesota kicking money. I had to go on the talk. So that sort of thing helps.
Yep.
We don't have many heavyweights, you know. They're going to talk to these people. That's our problem at the moment. They are heavyweights, but they aren't recognized as such yet. They will be. But it doesn't matter. Situation on this, that's really a shocking goddamn story I'm taking this morning. It's all hearsay, but hearsay or not.
Well,
is the granny went to school with you?
Yeah.
Is the granny, what is he, ratting? What, does he get mad about something?
No.
Or what, and why does he talk to a liberal Democrat called Young?
That's the problem.
Young, a friend of his?
Very close friend.
Who is Young? Do we know him?
Yeah, Chapin knows him.
A USC man too. Well, for Christ's sakes, that's where the problem is. Remember, I told you all the time, the kids around our shop talk too much.
Well,
no, they just don't.
Kids in our shop didn't talk at all.
Well, their granny was in our shop.
Not really. He was okay. A guy that had working out as a solo loan operator.
Remember, I told you, Bob, after the
what happened
in 68 campaign, it's like Garmin and Shakespeare. Talking to that asshole that wrote the book and everything. And they have somebody, and they don't, you've got to check the loyalty of people before you ever confide in confidential matters.
Here's what happened. The stupid thing, and to the degree that, as far as we can determine, the Grady claims this can't be true, because Young gave this story, but what, see the post.
Is the Grady unfriendly?
No, totally friendly.
What in the name of God is it? How can they quote him then? Why doesn't he deny it?
They aren't quoting Segretti.
They're quoting Young. Who quotes Segretti? Then Segretti ought to deny it.
Well,
or did you get money?
Well, get Segretti, I think.
He's out of commission.
Our question now is whether we want to get Segretti out or not.
Yeah.
But,
they might have a hearing, I see, or something.
What happened with this thing is that Segretti panicked when he was ordered to, when the FBI did it. The FBI got him on the basis of the Liddy phone call list.
Right.
And because Liddy had called Segretti apparently a number of times. So they hit Segretti. He was scared. Chapin wouldn't talk to him. Actually, I think he did take the call once or twice, right? But just told him not to. Then he tried to reach it and couldn't. And so he got talked to this guy Young, who is his best friend. And he was in a state of personal turmoil because the FBI and the grand jury were closing in on him, and he didn't know what to do. So this guy Young, being what should I do? He knew Young was a lawyer, not a son. Was asking for help and advice. And Young, very shrewdly, said, well, what are the facts here? And Segretti then gives him all the facts about what he, how he was recruited, what he was doing. And Young kept pumping him on, apparently, to get more of the wrong information. Then,
Young was off the campaign.
No, Young said nothing to do.
Nobody knows at all.
Well, Chamberlain knows him. He was at school.
There's ten.
And some of the other guys may know him, but he has had no contact with him in recent years.
Not at all.
Young isn't in this at all, except by his conversations with Segretti
about his FBI testimony.
And that's where all the story comes. Now, the Post called Friday and said that they were going to run this story Saturday, that they had an affidavit from this guy Young, and that it said that Chapin had directed Segretti's activities, that Chapin had met with Segretti in Miami, that Segretti had met with Chapin and Howard Hunt in Miami.
But the paper this morning doesn't say this, doesn't it?
All that because of the Chapin denial. Then Friday night, Burleson and Dick Moore and John Dean worked out a statement that they called back to the Post for Chapin. The result of that statement was to stop the story on Saturday because they realized they were past the bounds of the truth. Then they shaded it to take out the specific denials that Chapin had made and ran the story with those things. In other words, instead of saying Chapin met him in Miami, they say he met with Nixon aides in Miami.
Now,
the fact is, he did.
Being from him.
He was, and Chapin has never, Chapin doesn't know Howard Hunt, has never seen him in his life, wouldn't know if he saw him.
Yeah, he did, I'm sure.
No, but he doesn't. And they were trying to tie Chapin to Hunt. You see, they were trying to tie Chapin in as tight as they could get. They had to loosen him. But that didn't hurt them as far as running his picture and running, you know, making that believe.
Sure. It's just a long story.
Well, we've been wondering about that. Chapin and Strachan, who Strachan also knows Segretti, and incidentally, Time magazine has the same story. Just curious that it's Time rather than this week.
I'll tell you what it would indicate to me, that this guy Young decided to move the thing and call both the Washington Post and Time magazine. Because normally, I know, Time would give news, Post would not give a story they had to Time. They'd give it to Newsweek. One thing we were thinking about, based on that Segretti is a hell of a, apparently, totally reliable and totally able guy, was to surface Segretti and have him dump the whole thing, going beyond what they have, and describe what he was doing in detail, and then going to the guidance that he was using, which was what Dick Tuck was doing, what other people were, you know, trying to tie it all into the everybody does it syndrome.
That hasn't worked so far.
And let it go. No, it hasn't.
And well, that's what makes me wonder about it.
But we decided not to do it.
Well, we know what I meant. You really saw the buck come. They say that was fun. That was fun, but this is grim. That's the line that the most
famous. Oh, yeah, and this, the shameless way that story is written is really something, because they use quotes and then they stop the quotes and continue the sentence with words like espionage and sabotage and all the sort of stuff that obviously the guy never used, because he has never considered he was conducting either espionage or sabotage. And they're leaving it in, trying to build a case in this. There's Segretti. did, in a sense, Chapin recruited the guy in the sense that, he, the guy talked to him, said he wanted to get into the campaign somewhere, and it occurred to Chapin that he'd be a hell of a guy to do some of the things that Chapin Buchanan did in early 68, Reinhardt.
Yeah.
And he turned him over to Kalmbach, who at that time was handling the, some of the outside type of stuff.
But what does Kalmbach say? He's either tied there as attorney for the president.
Burrowing in, you know, on my, on my counter.
they've extrapolated beyond what Young told them as far as they can go. I think they're just trying to give McGovern a basis in his speech tonight to be able to say the White House as the president, as personally.
Yeah, they call it a great chance to say the chairman and
talk to the president and all this kind of crap. One of the few people that has ready access. You don't want to hot off him now.
Why not? Totally untrue.
Again, as with everybody else, Chapin's first reaction is, you know, don't be, if that's what you want, I'll go sure. Do anything, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. What the world would do to do that? I mean, what would it do?
No, we talked about that. What that would do is say that there's more to it than meets the eye.
Right.
And there is more to it than meets the eye.
There's less to it than meets the eye.
And I think Earlman's approach is exactly right. That really sad irony in this is that Chapin was called Thursday night and informed that he'd been selected as one of the 10 outstanding human men of the Junior Chairman. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know whether that they may back off of it.
On this?
No. They damn well better now.
Maybe I'm too detached from it, but I think also I think it's better not. Story, even with all the things that I'm complaining of, the point of this fellow that by hearsay says that he told me important to take this, and then from.
That's why we put hearsay in Jacob's statement. It's fundamentally not true, and it's based on hearsay. Those were the points we wanted to get. Fundamental untruths.
Here's a statement for that.
Well, and then they see that cleverly to try and use in the mind of the innocent observer the hearsay charge. They put Young's thing in the form of what they call a sworn statement or something like that. They refer to it to us as an affidavit. I think they're all sworn statement. Well, that makes people think it's true, you know.
I know, yes.
And then it's official because it's a sworn statement.
A sworn statement, but it's written in person. That's not a legal standard.
So I think you're dealing with a clever lawyer who, incidentally, Young, that's right. They were saying, well, what would his motivation be if he's such a good friend of Zagretti's? They said his motivation is he is super ambitious politically and personally and has not been very successful, and that he's the kind of guy that one thing they can see is that he sees the chance to get himself big headlines, and that he'd do damn near anything, including exposing himself to get headlines if he could. Muddies up the waters for that. There's no reason to, and it's terribly tough. And this whole thing is tragic, really, with Maureen Sands. I think it's probably ruined the worst son of a bitch. Because he's so goddamn square and straight, and he's in the middle of all this stuff. better go get ready for your wedding.
Henry, under no circumstances can you go to Hanoi unless
too goes along enthusiastically, but he has no concern about Paris. He's sure he's going to get that put together. His concern is Dew. And he says that Dew goes along enthusiastically, which he well might. Dew might say, this is what I've been after. Great. But Dew, then if we have to brutalize Dew, and then don't succeed, then we're in the position of having to go to Hanoi and saying, we can't get Dew to go along.
I'm not going to Hanoi.
That's right. In my view, and I may be misreading, but I think you're dealing with, as is usual in these things, the biggest problem you got is not a substantive one or a real one, but a personal ego one of Henry's obsession with going to Hanoi. And I said, you'd have to cancel Hanoi. He says, oh, that would break it off with them because they're
coming on me, yes. He's kind of overdone that. He says, they want so bad to get me to Hanoi. I don't know if he's getting that I stuff in again. I'm sure he wanted to get it.
Then he makes the point, if Tew turns it down, then we would have been better off to have been hung up in Paris on a North Vietnamese negotiating point than to look like we're hung up on a Tew point. And he's right.
My point is, time to hang it up is in Paris and not in China.
Right. But if you hang it up in Paris, you're going to hang it up and come home.
Sure.
And that's then turn it off and go right on bombing. And just look like you're still working on the negotiations.
Go hard bombing.
Politically, the more you think about it, I don't think the risks of it. I don't think the settlement runs us any harm.
One very important point for semantics that I constantly come into is the word coalition must never, never, never be used. If that state's line, the state wants a coalition government. And if the moment you ever say that what he is agreeing to is a coalition with the contents, they say, why the hell didn't you do it 4 years ago?
Yeah.
See, that's the real problem.
I see that.
So, actually, the Council for National Concord is not a coalition government. It's in the interest of something. They've just set up a procedure for negotiating with what the situation is. But nevertheless, that how that's handled.
Well, the flat answer is that in a briefing, is they're going to say, well, this isn't a federal coalition government. It's no.
No, sure. You cannot. Does that affect? Much more for us.
end up no matter what happened in Vietnam.
I wonder if something to be said is coming up. I don't have to go down there.
No.
And talking to me, if you like, just talking to me. Just like, you know.